G'day and welcome to the Pod Pod. It's your boy Dossie here talking all things AFL fantasy this Monday night, December 11th, 2023. Some massive news dropping today, courtesy of Warnie, Cal and Roy at Traders HQ talking about what the fantasy season will look like next year. So we had to get the gang back together to break it all down. But it was a stormy day in South Australia. The power, though, was certainly not out down in Alberton Oval with some massive news for the new captain of your beloved pair, Louie. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. It's funny you mention that because I have been worried about my power maybe going out. It's not the best grid system here in South Australia, but nah, some good news coming out of Port Adelaide with Connor Rosie as captain. I'm pretty happy about that.
Thoughts on the 8-year contract as well, mate? Kane Corns probably not too happy despite it being his boy.
Yeah, look, a lot of things can go wrong, but, you know, if you could sort of say that you can lock up your best player for the rest of his career, I think most people would say yes. So, yeah, no, pretty happy with that.
Now, I've also got a man, don't know what the weather's like down in Tassie, but Harmy hopefully got some inside goss from his boys, the traders over there. How are you, mate? And looking forward to some of this fantasy news that has been dropping in our laps today.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely been keeping an eye on it, mate. It's been, it's been really good. About 30 degrees down here in Launceston today, so heating up everywhere.
Gee whiz. And we've got our favourite bridesmaid of 2021. It is Holmesy, the runner-up back in the day. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Dossie boy. Can't help but notice that the g'day, welcome to the pod pod was a little bit flat today, though. Is that because we've been trying to do a few new things down here and you're a bit frustrated, Dossie?
Thanks for the, for the little segue there. We are trying a new recording format at the moment. Hopefully the audio is not too bad compared to the crispy old recording format. But yes, this was about the 15th attempt to get going. So it was a bit flat at the intro there. Hopefully we could pick up as we go. Potentially some audio format as well, if all goes well, fingers crossed. People will be able to see that on the YouTube channel potentially if I manage to.
Some video format, mate. We provide audio at the moment.
Yes, well, I'm looking to do a bit of both there, Lou, so we'll wait and see if that all comes to fruition. All right, well, getting into our hot topics, I think, straight away. So, just to let you know what the program is, obviously, we're going to go through what's dropped today, what the traders have let us know about what the season is coming up. If you haven't already checked that out after this show, of course, go check out the traders' new podcast going through everything that is going to happen. We're going to break it down and look at what the season is going to kind of be looking like. But before we do get into the hot topics, I just want to know, when you heard about the fixture, this whole round zero business going into round one, what did you think initially before we now know what it's going to look like? What were your thoughts, Harmy, heading into this year from a fantasy perspective?
Oh, look, I wasn't really blown away. I just think it's a bit of a money grab for the AFL, and I was in principle not really impressed. But look, I've come around to the idea, mate, and I think that Warnie's adjusted some good changes. It'll make it user-friendly for everybody, and that's important for us. I am a little bit concerned, though, mate, at the moment that we'll end up with some similar teams in the first few rounds, which I don't love the idea of that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to go through each of the rules and how they affect it. Yeah, I think my just initial thoughts, I was pretty devastated thinking about what it's going to be for fantasy coaches. Obviously, Stato not with us on this episode, but the great man was pretty excited with all the chaos coming his way. I think he's going to be one that looks forward to all these new changes. But yeah, Holmesy, I want your thoughts as well, mate, as a former, you know, way up towards the top of the end, towards the end of the year. You know, what were your thoughts before heading in? Were you concerned for the fantasy format?
I was actually a little bit excited. Anytime we get footy back early, I'm on board with that. It's not the best time of the year at the moment to not have it around. So the fact it's going to be back super early, I'm happy with. And yeah, the more I thought about it, you know, there was a few models floating around where maybe we get a free hit for round zero and then, you know, it gets wiped going into round one. But I thought that was going to be too different. So yeah, not playing round zero is definitely going to cater for the masses. Maybe there will be some similar teams. I'm not really in that camp at the moment. I think it actually probably opens it up for a little bit of variance with some people that want to play it more traditionally and others like Louis that want to take a bit of a punt with some strategies we'll get into. But yeah, I honestly don't mind it. And I'm sure there'll be some other comps. I know that Selby at Moreira's Magic is already floating, having his own separate comp for that round zero. So there'll be a way to play fantasy regardless, which is good.
All right, rounding it out, Lou, let's get your thoughts before we crack in.
Oh, look, Doss, it sort of is what it is for me. I think the COVID season a couple of years ago really desensitized me in terms of what can happen in this game. So sort of have to take it as it comes and work our ways around it because, you know, we enjoy playing fantasy and I don't think any of us are going to stop just because there's some silly buy around to start the season. So bring it on, I say.
All right, now it is time to get into our hot, hot topics for the week. As I mentioned, we are going to cover hopefully everything that was covered by the traders, but just in terms of going into what we think about these changes. So again, if you want the full details after this one, just jump on and listen to Warnie and the boys discuss each one. But let's go through the first one. So as we've kind of just touched on, Classic and Draft, but we're talking about Classic on this show, is going to start in round one, which they've introduced the round zero this year to go ahead of that round one, which will be a few of the teams that are playing before that. So we've found that, yes, we won't be playing fantasy footy until round one, but that round one prices will be factored in. Sorry, the round zero scores are going to be factored in after that round one game. So, Lou, walk us through what this means for us, do you think? Or what are your thoughts on this decision?
It's an interesting one. It's something that is a little bit familiar. About, I think it was nearly 10 years ago now, there was an opening round where it was split across 2 weeks, so the prices didn't change and we were able to actually look at some players and what they were able to do. But this time around, it seems that across round zero, we can watch who is playing and who might be playing over the next 6 weeks as well as that. In order to sort of give us a better idea of what they are capable of doing. So I've sort of gone a really roundabout way of saying that, but essentially round zero, you get a free hit to look at the players that you might be interested in and then trade into them round two, knowing that they are going to get a double hit of a price rise post round one. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think it makes sense. Holmesy, are you going to attack this in a specific way this year? You've got to be using those players as that audition for round one and then pretty much be, do you reckon we're going to be loading up on these players though? Is that pretty much, that's as what Harmy was alluding to, some teams are going to look pretty similar in this first, our opening teams anyway.
Well, Dossie, what it is going to do is that any rookie that plays in round zero for any one of those sides, we're going to get a look at their role in an actual AFL game compared to these practice matches that have, you know, 25 to 28 players on a list. This will be full-blown best 22, best 23, whatever they go with the players on the bench. And if a rookie comes out, say, like a Kay Chandler did this year and scores 100 in that first round zero game, it just means that every team in the comp will have that rookie. That's a given. But where the variance will come is where, say, I'll just throw a name out there, say a Kitty Coleman comes out in round zero and he scores well. Do coaches decide to jump on him for round one knowing that he has a buy in round two, or do they take a punt and potentially fade him in that round one and try to jump on in round three after he's had his buy? Because we do know that the magic number is at its highest in those first three rounds, and if he's missing a price rise in round two because he's on a buy, then that could potentially have you a bit behind the pack. So that's something we need to work through, but it is pretty much guaranteed that if a rookie pops off in that round zero game that we'll all have him.
Yeah, I mean, is there any players we can think of, Harmy, and I'll put you on the spot here, mate, but I'll read out some of the teams. Is there any players that you'll be keeping an eye on outside of a Kitty Coleman that Holmesy has mentioned there? I don't know if that was a bit of a sneak peek towards Holmesy's back line there, but Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Carlton, Suns, Richmond, GWS and Collingwood are all playing in this round zero game. This is on the 7th of March is the first game that we're going to see this season on the Thursday night.
Yep. Yeah, I can throw a few names at you, mate. I think that it's not really the premiums that we'll be focusing on. It's the mid-prices and the rookies. So people like Marty Hoare, Connor Buderick, if Zach Williams gets a game, it's that sort of player I think that we're looking for a bit of a bump from that round zero score. And the rookies, obviously, too.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the next point that they touched on the show. So the best 18 is going to be counting for rounds 2, 3, 5, and 6. So obviously with this round zero, then there's some teams that don't aren't playing that round zero as well. So we to catch up in rounds 2, 3, 5, and 6, we're going to have those buys from the round zero teams. So in those games, it's going to be best 18 with 2 trades per week. So not going up to those 3 trades like we may have thought might have happened, but like there's only 2 teams on the buy on those games. So makes sense to you, Holmesy? Do you reckon that's a good call? And how do we navigate this part of the season as well with, you know, all these early buy rounds coming into play?
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic call, to be honest, Dossie. I remember back in the 2020 COVID year, and obviously it was under extreme circumstances, but when the game opened back up in round two, it was 3 trades a week, and it really just helped out those coaches that were a little bit behind and missed in their starting squads. And the extra trade, you know, it didn't really reward the coaches that had a good starting squad and nailed their starting pick. So I think a very sensible decision is to go with 2 trades a week. We don't want, you know, our upgrades to happen too early. There still needs to be a lot of skill in the game to be able to get to those upgrades early. So I think the 2 trades a week is a good decision, and best 18 is definitely the way to go as well, to make sure we maximise participation in the game and we don't lose too many people early. What it does open up for is strategy, and Louis was talking about this off the top before we started recording, is, you know, is it a year where we go back to guns and rookies, because we know that if we've got a best 18, we're not going to be as reliant on those rookies to maybe get into our best 18 scorers, and that way we can maximise those points on field early, which I think, once again, there'll be coaches that go about it different ways, but, you know, getting out a jump early and getting some good scores is going to be a, you know, probably a pivotal strategy.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting time of the season. Does anyone else have any thoughts on that? I mean, Louis, are you pretty similar? I mean, you know, Holmesy just touched on your point, but are you excited about this early part of the season? I'm just like, toward the top of the show, I think we mentioned, like, I was kind of worried about this whole setup. Do you think we're going to lose a few of the more casual players early in the season? And what would you say to those casual players to keep an eye on in this first kind of 5 weeks in terms of navigating this?
No, I don't think so, mate. We shouldn't be losing casual players that early. Like, it's essentially a bit of an easier game, really. You've only got to field 18 players each week, essentially. Obviously, you want a full team of green dots. But I think what they've implemented here is going to be friendly enough to casuals, and I think it still provides enough of a challenge to the coaches that maybe think about the game a little bit more deeply to start planning ways to sort of rise above the rest. So I think they've met a nice little middle ground here.
All right, let's get on to the next point, which is just to do with the salary cap. So we do see this change regularly, tends to go year to year and sort of reflect the way the salary cap moves in the AFL to try and get that little bit of realism in there. So the salary cap this year is 15.8 million, which has gone up, I think it's around 300K from last year, but presumably they scale up the players as well, which sort of doesn't really make too much of a difference. Although we do know that there is that magic number that Kyle alluded to earlier, where you can kind of figure out what players are going to be priced at before those official prices come out. But Harmy, talk us through what this means for us, salary cap wise. 15.8 million. They've already announced that, you know, Tim English is going to be the most expensive player, as he should be. And then the rookie pricing as well. It's going to be 300K for your number one pick in Harley Reid, the most expensive rookie. Then it's going to go down around, I think it's $3,000 per pick. So then 297K for your second pick and so on down the list. So Colby McKercher will be 297K, Harley Reid 300K, and your most expensive player, Tim English, over that $1 million mark.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I don't think it means a great deal because the salary cap has gone up, as you say, Dossie, but everyone's prices have kind of gone up proportionate to that. The only one I noticed listening to the traders today that was those basement rookies. So your like absolute basement rookies being 200,000, that 200,000 hasn't gone up. So potentially you get a little bit of benefit in those guys. But geez, I don't know how many we'll have that are in that price bracket at the moment. Having a look at the the rookie draft and the AFL draft. So, yeah, that was the only real takeaway from me. That doesn't mean a great deal at this point. But, yeah, the magic number, 90323 or something like that.
90330, so, yeah.
Yeah, we can now start to price up, start forming our teams and get a good indication of who you're going to be able to fit in, which is cool.
So, for any new player, Holmesy, how do you go about using that magic number 9030 if you haven't used that magic number before?
Yeah, so if you do want to start formulating a bit of a team, I wouldn't even worry about the magic number. What it all basically works out to be is 1,749 total points that you've got to work with. So, if a player averaged 100 last year, then that's 100 points that comes off that 1,749 figure. So, keep it pretty easy. Obviously, the game will be opening up some point in the next couple of weeks. So, if you want to just build your team, then you can. But as Harmy said, everything's been scaled up a little bit. But from what I can see off what I worked out last year compared to this year, the total points is very similar. So, building a team this year will be very similar to last year.
So, what was Holmesy's? What was your magic number, mate? The Holmesy's special magic number, 1749 total points.
Yeah, 1749 total points.
All right, good to know. So Holmesy goes on his own math. I love that from you. No, that's a good way of thinking of it. Let's go to the next hot topic here, which was just basically letting us know as well that those DPPs, our dual position players, so players that get additional forward status or defender status or whatever, usually those are the ones we care about the most, won't be happening until after round six. So they came to us last year after round five. But the other ones are going to stay the same. So, the ones later in the season are staying the same. It's just due to that early game that they're not coming out until after round six, Harmy.
Yeah, so Brody Grundy will get forward status in round seven then. That's what you're saying, Dossie? Or round eight then?
Well, if you say so.
And Max Gorn, he'll be forward as well. Tristan Cherry, they'll all be forwards, won't they? Soldo.
I mean, if you say so, mate, we're going to need them up forward because it is sparse down there, which we'll be talking about shortly in our positional, talking about those positions. But, yeah, it is pretty sparse down forward. I know you're desperate for a couple of forwards, Harmy, but I don't know if we're going to be able to get those guys in our forward line this year. Well, that's pretty much wrapped up. I don't know what else. Was there anything else that you guys wanted to cover in terms of strategy or in terms of, like, what these new rules mean? I think, like you guys said, I think they've done a pretty good job. Like, I don't know how I'd would have done it better myself in terms of how to sort of navigate this situation. Bit of a stitch up on us AFL fantasy coaches with this round zero. But, Harmy, you got some thoughts?
Look, I was just going to say, Dossie, we're still stuck with those crappy buy rounds in the middle of the draw though, which is a bit of a shame. That didn't change. And I don't think we've heard anything from the AFL about the sub rule, which I'm actually really interested to hear about too.
Yeah, a couple more things to play out. Presumably, though, those middle buy rounds will still be played out the same way as well. So, we'll still get our three trades during those buy rounds just because there's more teams on the buy. It's just those early ones where there's only, you know, two teams on each of those four rounds in the early season that we won't manage to get our three trades, which is fair enough. Louis, sorry, were you going to say something there, mate?
Yeah, so I was going to say, having said all that and all the information we now have, does that affect your thoughts on how you're going to start your team this year? You know, it's only December at this point and there's a lot of water to go under the bridge, but does that change your thinking in terms of a starting squad, guys?
Yeah, absolutely, Louis. We sort of touched on it off the top, but I would find it really hard to start a premium that at a minimum has a buy in round two or round three, knowing that you're going to be giving up a premium or two to the rest of the comp when they're on a buy. So rookies obviously aren't going to matter. You just swap on another rookie and you might only be giving up 5 to 10 points on any given week, maybe even a mid-pricer. But if you're taking a premium off and having to sub them on with a rookie, then you could potentially be losing 40, 50, 60 points on the rest of the comp. So those are the players that you're going to struggle to pick early doors. I still haven't quite gone through it all in terms of round five and round six. I think there's a little bit to play out there. You know, six rounds is still a long time. But yeah, at a minimum, I think those round two and round three by players premiums are going to be hard to start.
Yeah, well, as I said, I think that those premiums that are playing in around zero is probably the concern at the minute, and still means that Paddy Dow well and truly in the mix, Doss, because the Saints don't play.
Absolutely, mate. Certainly in the mix. So just to recap that as well. So round two, it's Brisbane and Carlton. That'll be the teams on the bye. In round three, it's the Gold Coast Suns and GWS Giants. So what you're saying there, Holmesy, is someone that we'll talk about in a minute who's potentially got that, well, who has that forward status and could be a breakout player in terms of Sam Flanders. You might avoid a player like that, or is it more just the premiums that you're talking about? So guys that could still make a bit of cash in the first couple of weeks, would you still be looking at those guys?
Yeah, look, Flanders is a tough one because we all saw what he did in the last six games of the year, and everything's pointing to him being, potentially the number one forward. But yeah, with that buy in round three, it's tough. You know, you use an example of a Sam Walsh who, priced at 95 or whatever. We all know that he should be a 105 plus. And in any given year, that's the type of player you like to start in your starting squad. But knowing that he has a buy in round two, I just think it's fraught with danger. If you have a Sam Walsh on a buy and then you hit with a few other injuries or forced trades, then you could be giving up 2-3 premiums on the field against everyone else, and you're right behind the pack. So I think in a Sam Walsh example, it's probably safer to try and trade into him in round three or round four if you can, rather than starting him.
So am I right in saying, just because I didn't listen through, I didn't really read the full schedule of how it's going to play out. Lou, if Walsh gets 150 in this opening round, and then in round one, we see him get 100 or 110 or something like that, is he going to have both of those scores priced in, so he's going to have some walloping, plus however much dollars come round two, but obviously he'll be then missing that week? Is this how it's going to work? Is it going to be like double?
I believe so. I think so. Do you know about that, Holmesy?
No, I wouldn't think that it works like that, because all of the break evens have to remain consistent. So I would have thought if he goes 150 in round one and then goes 100 in round two, I would think that his price would be off a 125 average. I think it would just go off the average with the break evens not changing after round zero, I would have thought.
But oh, yep. I that could makes be sense. Wrong.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Actually, yeah. Good point, Holmesy. Always switched on, mate. Always switched on. All right, let's get into some of the positional stuff, because we have been away for over a month now, and we found out in that time that we're away what the positions look like. So we just wanted to take a look at some of the big names and some of the big names missing from the list. So I'm just going off the article on AFL.com that was released around that month ago, and just looking at our top forwards based on average that are still forwards this year, and it's our mate, all of our mate, Jack McRae, who is now listed as the number one forward. I think we're all sorry owners at one point or another last year, apart from Louis, who's shaking his head. Now, Louis, as the only one that's not butthurt from Jack McRae last year, will he be an option you're looking at in 2024?
Yeah, absolutely he will be. This was his worst season just about since his debut year. I think Jack McRae's got a lot more to give. I think it's an important year for the Bulldogs, obviously the vice-captain as well. And I think it was about 45% mid-clock that he got. So if he can get that back up to 60%, I think there's a natural improvement there. But look, for a guy who's gone 104 across his career, priced at 92, in a line where we're really struggling for options, I think you're paying a fair price for a fair player there. And the upside, of course, is if he does bounce back to proper mid-clock, which we saw a couple of years ago, then potentially we do have a sort of 100-plus averaging forward, which is an easy pick. So at this stage, and keeping in mind that I wasn't burnt last season, I actually like Jack McRae as a forward pick, and I think he's one of the safest options we've got, to be honest.
I saw Harmy leaning towards the microphone several times there, just wanting to chime in about Jack McRae. What do you want to say, mate? Get it out.
Look, as much as we think Bevo's a bit off the show at times, I'm actually warming to the idea of both McRae and Bailey Smith.
We knew it was going to happen. We talked about it last year. I mean, I'm all about Bailey Smith potentially, to be honest, but Jack McRae, it's just the wounds, they're too recent, they're too sore still, Holmesy, and I see you now leaning towards the mic, wanting to get something. What do you want to say?
Well, I just want to ask Harmy then. All right, so if Jack McRae and Baz are both going into that midfield, who's going out? Is Bont going out? Is Libba going out? Treloar, maybe I could see it. But for them to go over 100, which we need them to, one of those guys is going to have to take a serious step back because there's just not enough mouths.
I'm just not prepared to say that this is the beginning of what Jack McRae is. Like for the last sort of 10 years, he's put up 105, 110, 122 for Christ's sake. So a 92 is a little bit down on his usual output, but I don't think it's going to get much worse than that. With the forward status, you can hide behind that a little bit. And like I said, the upside is you are getting a 100-plus averaging player. And if he goes on and does that, then at the end of the year, you probably do feel a little bit silly if he does achieve those heights because priced at 92, it's clear value. But obviously, a bit of a crystal ball here. And, yeah, maybe you guys are right. And it's exactly what he does for the next couple of years in that role.
Yeah, and the other thing with Bailey Smith is not much went right for him last year, like compared to the year before. And he's out of contract. If the Bulldogs want to keep him, I think they will be being pretty nice to him.
All right, a few things to think about in our forward line. Didn't even mention the other player. So we had a Dustin Martin, Caleb Daniels up there now, Sam Flanders, as we mentioned, priced at the 89.6, so just under 90, and he came blistering home at the end of last year. But now we've got that that very early buy, so a lot of things to think about. A few other guys, Toby Green, Dylan Moore. You've got a lot more traditional kind of forwards as well coming up there. It's going to be an interesting year for the forwards looking forward, Holmesy.
Yeah, it could be one of those years. I think it might have been the COVID year, and I just know this because I remember talking to Selby about it when he went through that year and did really well. It could be one of those years where we don't look to start many of those top price guys because we don't know how it's going to fall. And maybe we take a punt at a few of these guys priced, you know, in that sort of 50 to 65 range so that we can get a good look because, you know, every year we get these DPP guys coming in that are, you know, somehow they just play forward for the first 6 weeks. Think of Josh Kelly, Luke Parker, you know, some of the Bulldogs players of old that, you know, end up being the must-haves. And if we start too many of these guys like we did last year, then maybe we might be shooting ourselves in the foot. So I'm not sure who those guys are at the moment. We haven't seen roles in preseason, but yeah, maybe we just need to look and hunt for a little bit more value, almost draft style, rather than paying up for the big dogs, well, the perceived big dogs, and looking for value that might go past them.
Yeah, I like that, mate. I think that you may sort of be chasing a bit of value instead, and people like Cam McKenzie, Elijah Hewitt, Jai Cully, Jack Hayes, that sort of cheaper price may be where we land with some of those forwards.
All right, yeah, just looking at a few of the players we did obviously lose, Errol Goulden, Tim Taranto, Connor Rosie, Josh Dunkley, Stephen Cornelio, Zach Butters. So it's all the players that were basically stalwarts of our team last year, all becoming mid-only, whereas Harry Sheasel, who was a very popular rookie, only becoming a defender now because he was just mopping up off the back line, obviously, Harmy.
So, Lou, any of those forwards that Dossie's just identified as getting the chop, you still think it's going to be a really good option as a mid-only, like a Tim Taranto, somebody like that?
Yeah, I think so. Zach Butters obviously was sort of, you know, a major step up in 2023. I think he's going to take another step again. Priced at 100, you can really make a good case for improvement there. Connor Rosie, you're probably going to get more of the same, that 105+. Tim Taranto, 110+, I think. A lot of these guys were such stalwarts in our team in 2023 because they had the role. They were pretty much centre-bounce midfielders with the exception of Errol Goulden. So I think these guys can be started in the midfield, and you might even be able to sort of take advantage of there seems to be a bit of a trend in the fantasy community where maybe somebody loses their DPP and gives you a little bit of a bad taste to pick them as a mid-only the following season. But I think the people that do identify a player who's clearly got the role and is going to keep replicating that, jump on early. They're going to be very useful for you.
I've got my eyes on the guy, the two guys you didn't mention as you sort of relayed them off. Yeah, the Josh Dunkley for me, I think, is just a guy that's gone 170 last year in his second year at the Lions as well. I don't know. He's in my early plans. So if that's any indication of my past performance, probably avoid him, everyone else. But I'll be looking at Dunkley, and I'm also looking at Goulden.
He's got the round two bye, mate. He's got the round two bye.
He's off my list then. Bugger. You said I could go the Sydney guys, though, because they're round five, hey, with Errol Goulden. So I might just go him, the only non-centre-bounce midfielder, as we mentioned there, more of a wingman. Okay, let's look at some of the defenders as well for this season that we've got. And retaining defensive status, probably the big one, is Nick Dacos, despite getting a lot more centre-bounce usage towards the back end of last year. Now, Nick Dacos, I'm sure, well, probably was in most of our squads last year, I would imagine. But Holmesy, I want to throw to you, mate. What's your thoughts on him taking his game to even another level this year, even though he's had 108.8 average in 2023? Could he be the number one defender again? And will he? Would you see him back in that guts this year and just really taking his game to a new level?
Yeah, absolutely, Doss. He's the front runner at the moment to be the D1. You know, we've got Sicily there priced at 105, but that's the first year that he's been over 100. He's generally a 95 guy, and you would think with the Hawks improving, maybe they don't chip it around as much back there. So he definitely is. However, with the year that the last 2 years that he's had, the attention's going to keep coming. He's just going to have to keep fighting through that. So with the round, or they got the round six by, I think, and with the Hawthorn matchup in round four, maybe it's pretty hard to start him, but he's definitely the front runner to
round
be
five.
D1. Round five, so even earlier. So he's going to be one that divides the community, because most years we would just pay up to start him. Think of Sam Doherty of last year and the year before. We all started Sam Doherty because he seemed like he was going to be the very clear D1, considering all the other options we've lost in a Dawson and a who else do we lose? There's one other that I can't.
Yeah, I'd have to look at that one. Funny though, we're just gonna have to get used to these buys and having them on the mind all the time. And oh, you know, it's round five, round three, round two. Is there anything like Louis? I mean, I think Stato before has talked about this in terms of maybe not thinking about stuff too late. I know that the buys now have shifted up, but so do you think the round five and six ones, like, are we going to ignore them almost, or are they still, as Holmesy said, like a Dacos? Would you be really considering not starting a guy that's priced that highly? Would you just avoid premiums altogether, like the real top gun premiums, unless they've got cash to make, I mean?
I think we have to consider it, yeah, Dossie. You know, he's still got the buy, so he's still going, 100? If he averages 110, he's still going to have 110 less points by the time everybody sort of evens up, and then it's sort of open slather, I think. So still not having worked through it myself, I'm not sure how it's going to work, especially with those rounds you identified. Round five and six, I think, are going to be the tricky ones, whereas I think most coaches will just totally avoid sort of two, three, and or one, two, and three. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, Dossie. I think as much information as we can provide and as much speculation that we can sort of talk about, it's going to be really hard to narrow down.
Just think about it this way, Dossie, and this might be the maths teacher coming out of me, but the way Louis said it, so say Dacos goes at 110 for his first five games, so he scores 550 points over the first five, but he has a game that he misses. A player that plays all six and doesn't have a bye, if they average 90, they're still scoring 540 points, which is only 10 points less. So if you're able to find someone to go close to that, that's also going to have their price go up and make money for you, then maybe that's the way to go. So there is a little bit more to it. And obviously, you can trade out of a Dacos in a perfect world. If he goes at 110 for the first five and then you trade him at his bye, then you are going to make those points. But we do know that we get a lot of forced trades early, and it doesn't always work out that way. So that's where the strategy is going to come in.
Yeah, you'd almost... Sorry, Lou.
Sorry, Dossie. I was just going to say, I think that's the big thing, isn't it? So every single year, there's so many variables that we just can't control. There's injuries, there's suspensions, there's omissions, there's, you know, who knows what. And I think if you're going to start too many players that do have a bye round across those first 6 weeks, you're introducing an extra variable. So you're going to have to be a man down on a certain week, and you're not sure whether or not you will have necessarily all your green dots playing, which is going to affect the bottom end of your 18, which is going to affect your top end too. So the top 18 system, I think there's a lot of strategy to it through these buy rounds. So I'm almost leaning to a scenario where I'm going to minimize almost entirely the teams that are playing in round zero and sort of go from round one onwards.
Yeah, God, it's almost like a brainstorm as we go right now. It's very fresh information. So, yeah, we're going to have to get our heads more around these, which teams are playing the buy rounds early. Obviously, we've mentioned them as we go, but just to remember those as we're talking about each player, as I've already forgotten a few times which players are eligible and not. It's going to take time. It's early. We're in our preseason as well, boys, but like, Holmesy, the players you were alluding to other than Jordan Dawson were Sam Doherty, who lost defensive status, as well as Will Day, who was a popular option last year. So, yeah, we have lost a few players back there. All right, well, I think that's pretty much – we don't want to have too long a show at this point of the year when there's not stacks to talk about, but obviously some groundbreaking news today. We had to jump on the mics and get to some of this news. So, keen to talk through it more as things plays out. And as news comes to hand, shout out to our mate Pete from AFL Ratings. But I want to get to one more thing from the socials, which is also something that starts ramping up now. The social media managers getting very busy this time of year, taking lots of snaps of those preseason time trials. I just want to see, has there been anything that stood out to you guys on the socials, on the X, if you will, at PodPodAFL, by the way, if you want to follow us on that platform. But let's do a little bit of a roundtable. I don't want you guys to say you haven't seen anything, because you have. You would have seen something that's caught your eye already. What's been the one thing, the one hype post, the one shredded photo of one of your favorite players that stood out to you the most this preseason so far, early that it is in December 11th today that it is. Let's start with you, Louis. I reckon you've seen something. You've got excited on the old X.
No, honestly, I haven't, Dossie. It's, you know, at the beginning of December, I think there's a lot of social media posts out there that from the clubs themselves, they want engagement from their fans, and they know the fantasy coaches especially are going to give it to them. So they're definitely providing the content. It's really early in the preseason to get too excited on any individuals, but I think you do naturally have to sort of take little notes when you see them. So if you see maybe somebody you were keen on a couple of weeks ago and he finishes top three in the time trial pre-Christmas, you do take that as a good sign for things to come. But I think that's a question that I'd prefer to answer maybe on the other side of Christmas.
Boring. Because so much goes that's wrong. Boring, Lou. Come on, mate. You saw the Rosie captain photo today, mate, and you locked him away on your side first thing you did.
You're right. Just watch out for Toby McLean in the mid-season draft. He'll be cheap.
All right, Harmy, bring us up. Come on, mate. You've got something, surely. We'll leave Holmesy, the notorious, very happy man that he is, for last year.
Yeah, there's heaps of stuff. I've been keeping a little bit of an eye on it, mate.
Thank you.
Those time trials, I reckon there's a spot in that Saints midfield, and I saw Marcus Windager. I think he came second in their time trial, so 2K-er, so he's looking fairly fit.
Yeah.
Toby Bedford took out the GWS time trial. Easily. I couldn't believe it. So, but Finn Callahan, he finished in the chasing pack, so that was good to see. But the one I did note, this is the one, Dossie. Newsflash, Elliot Yeo injured.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, Marcus Windhager has to already be one of the early hype men of 2024, though. I've seen plenty of...
I got the number two. There was a big media thing about that. Yeah.
Huge news.
Yeah, Harmy, I thought you might have mentioned your boy Nathan Kruger with Dan Mitstay going down with an ACL.
Oh, I didn't see that. Was that on X, was it, Lou?
Yep.
You posted in the chat. It was the first thing you did. Savage from Harmy. Holmesy, what did you want to say about Marcus Windhager?
Yeah, well, I mean, just if anyone's looking for a bit of preseason content to go through, just go to the friend of the show, Stevie Fizz at the Draft Doctors. He spent about 10 minutes ripping Marcus Windhager to shreds. He is not a fan. So maybe go have a listen there, Dossie, and maybe stay away from Windhager.
So not Steve the next genuinely Lenny knows what Hayes. He's
doing. What do you say? Can't get a touch. He can't touch the ball. It's all stat padding.
What did he do? He did his all. He went through and he took all of the players' CBAs and he calculated how many times they actually won a disposal from a CBA, and Marcus Windhager was like 2 from 110 or something, worst percentage in the league. So,
right up Dossie's alley. Well, I've got to say one thing that I've been troubled by and worried about is the lack of hype since arrival of one Paddy Dow. Where the media, like all this attention on Windhager and all these other players, like we've just said, there's not enough Paddy, and I'm, you know, unless they're just holding off and waiting for the, you know, waiting for the build up a bit, just wait for that hype to build. That's been a concern for me. But I think one thing, another Saint, actually, funnily enough, maybe the Saints are just the team this year, our team to look out for on the socials, really pumping them up. But one player that I was surprised by is seeing a man train that I was not expecting to train at this time of year. And I think Harmy got excited about him maybe last podcast. One Zach Jones running around this time of year. Going to be cheap, Harmy?
Yeah, he's under 50. I can't remember what I priced him at, but, oh, God, he's got a good injury record, doesn't he? He gets about 3 games a year for the last 4 years.
Running around healthy this time of year. Good signs. Holmesy, round us out, mate. Who's your hype man this early?
I don't have a hype man, but I'll go with the social media theme that I thought we were doing, Dossie. I'm going to throw it to Harmy's beloved Essendon. There was an article that caught my eye from Fox Sports heralding the Essendon Bombers because apparently the players took it upon themselves to fund a player trip to America. Yes. Breaking news. Players have to pay for their own overseas trips. Would you believe it?
I did say
those Bombers are built different.
I did say that.
Hey, Dossie, I will give you one because I did read an article today as well. And
your one was Kruger.
Colby McKersha, who's the number 2 draft pick, was flagged to maybe potentially play off halfback. We saw that Harris Sheezel did that pretty much off the back of no experience at halfback in his juniors. So Colby McKersha, who's known as a bit of a pig in the junior level, I expect him to be a pretty handy fantasy player if he does get that role across halfback. And this early on, you probably can put him in your midfields.
Yeah, that's shout out to Calvin too. That is his boy. I remember they were over here for the DT Talk live tour. And this is, when was that? Like March 2023 or something like that. And after a few frothies, Calvin pulls me aside, says, look out for this guy next year. And at the time, he wasn't even projected. I think he was projected at like pick 15 at the time. And he's gone skyrocketed up to number 2. I know he's obviously a Tassie boy there, Harmy, so I think old Calvin had something to do with him. But, yes, picked it early, said he's going to be a star. So, that's a shout-out to Calvin there, but big pick from him. All right, well, that'll do it, I think, lads, for the pod this early in the December times. But exciting times ahead for fantasy coaches. As I said, slight concern from me on the casual front. I wonder how casual coaches are going to go navigating it. But I think, as we've pointed out across the show, you know, I think they've done a fantastic job of trying to limit that as best they can. I know there's also some really good draft settings that have come in as well that'll you know, keep draft coaches keen. I think some of the more premium features are now available for free, like you're adjusting scores to try and get through this period, which will be really good for coaches as well. But look, any closing thoughts before we sign off, lads? Throw it to you, Lou. You're going to sign us off this time, mate.
Closing thoughts. Just process all the information. Obviously, we're processing it still now. I think there's no right answers this time of year, and there's going to be an interesting preseason ahead as we sort of figure out what we're going to do with our team. So put yourself in the best position to succeed. I reckon if you are on Twitter, if you're following all the podcasts and listening to all the information as it comes to hand, then you're going to be in a good position to sort of set your team up early and all the podcasters, and I'm sure the Twitter fantasy community will help everybody out and figure out how we're going to navigate all this. So, yeah, just keep updated, and I think it's not going to be as bad as what maybe we think. We thought it would be a couple of weeks ago when we found out about the fixture.
All right. And just to finish off, make sure you follow us on X at PodPodAFL. Potentially, if we get this YouTube stuff up, you might see a YouTube link out there. Follow us on there if we do end up doing that. Also, please leave us a rating or a review, depending on what platform you're on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen. It's really going to help us this preseason to get our show up and running. So please go do that. Otherwise, we'll hopefully see you soon. Farewell.